I should say the Lord started last week. And that is, the line is drawn in the sand. Can everybody say amen to that?
Amen.
The line is drawn to the sand. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to each one of you? What is the line? God said, come follow me. But when he said that, what did he ask? To leave everything behind. That's right. Now, the Lord had put this in my spirit, and I'm going to just give you what the Lord told me to give you guys. So I'm going to start with the book of Ruth. If you guys want to go to book of Ruth, chapter 1. I'm going to start with the story of Naomi and Ruth. Verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go on your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. Can you say her people? And to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, what I want to point out in this story is that Ruth comes from a people that used to worship other gods. She was a woman that lost her husband, went through the fire. But then in that story, she gives herself to the Lord God. It is one of the greatest sacrifices that has ever, a person given up of herself, everything she's known, to go follow a people, to go follow God. She gave herself to the Lord. And when we draw that line in the sand, God is telling us that we're trying to build, he wants to build an army. He's not trying to build people that walk the line. Sometimes they're with him and sometimes they're not with him. He's tired of people walking that line. On the line's drawn and they're walking on both sides. It's time for us to get off the fence and stand up as strong men and women of God and start doing the things for God. Start living the way God wants us to live our lives. Start believing and following him. Start doing what is required of us. Even though we are saved and we have Christians and we are Christians, even though we are saved, we believe in Jesus, but God has expectations for his people. God has things that he wants us to live by. There's guidelines, there's boundaries. There's a line drawn in the sand he wants us to cross over. He doesn't want us to just cross over or just talk about it. He wants us to be about it. He wants us to cross that line. He wants us to stand as strong soldiers of God. There's so many things going on in this world. There's people that are hungry. There's people that are starving. There's people that don't have the word. There's Christians out there right now that are dying. There are people who are dying just to hear a word. And here we are in America not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We have air conditioning. People were telling me earlier that it was too hot in here, but that was the Holy Ghost's fault. But, you know, it was, you know, we have chairs. Pastor always says, there's, you know, we have chairs. We have, you know, an enclosed building here. There's people around the world that don't have that. There's people that are suffering. There's people that are dying for the Word of God, for God. The other day when the pastor was showing all those pictures of all the apostles, how they died, how they hung them, how they were sacrificed, how they were tortured and beaten, put in prison. None of us go through that. We get the word fed to us and we don't do anything about it. We go home, turn on the TV, watch whatever we want to watch, go to the bars, do whatever we want to do, drink. Not saying that drinking's bad, but, you know, there's some of us that take it to the limit. You know, we go and do other things that we shouldn't be doing. Fighting, talking about other people, disrespecting others, hurting others. I mean, the list goes on and on. How are we as Christians supposed to come together, united, for God, but all we do is pick each other apart? All we do is kick each other when we're down. How are we going to lift each other? We're supposed to be lifting each other up. We're supposed to be helping each other. We're supposed to be edifying each other. We're supposed to be crossing the line together. Pastor brought up the story last week on the Alamo. And he said that we're going to die here tonight for purpose. That's what God asked his apostles. He told them, leave everything, come follow me. Now I charge you people tonight. I charge you people tonight. Are you going to be able to do that? God says, pick up your cross and follow me. Come on. God's not playing anymore. There's this time, there's no time for playing. There's no time for joking around. There's no time for I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it in the morning. No, it's right now. It's right now. As I'm speaking right now. We got to make up our minds whether we're going to be for him or against him. There's no darkness in the Lord. So we got to be there. We got to do what we got to do. We got to make things right. We got to be positive. We got to give our hearts to the Lord. That's what we got to do. You know, we are going to mess up. We are going to trip and fall sometimes. But the thing about it is we get right back up. And we stand up. We dust the dirt from our feet. And we keep moving. We put the hand to the plow and move forward. God is looking to raise an army right now. He started these Christians. The church doesn't even have an influence in this world anymore. Come on. We got conformity. We're conforming to the ways of the world. Come on. That's not what God wants. That's not what he expects of his people. You know, when we're making laws and our government's making laws to conform to sinners and things of this world, we're not of this world, so we shouldn't abide by those rules. We shouldn't accept those rules. One of the greatest people they conquered, Alexander the Great. They asked him, how did he conquer this world? How did he conquer the world of the old days? And he said, because he did not tarry. He didn't think about it. He didn't wait. He didn't take a step back. No, he moved forward. And that's what we got to do. We got to cross that line in the sand, and we got to tell the Lord today that, Lord, we are with you, Lord God. We give you our hearts. We give you our spirits. We give you our souls, Father God. Use us. Use us, Father God. Use us to make a difference. Use us to be that person, Lord God. Use us to be that vessel. Use us to be that utensil that does your work, Father God. Let us move forward. Let us help you, Father. I mean, all things are done through God, but let us be the vessel that he uses. Let us help each other as Christians. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So today I charge you. Today make that choice to serve the Lord. to serve him faithfully with your whole heart, with your mind and your soul. There's no time for games anymore. It's time for us to get up, stand together as a body under Christ, and move forward. Start doing his will. I want to go to... I'm sorry, I had so much scripture that God was just throwing in my head, and I was just like trying to write everything down. To stand in Christ, 1 John, I want to read this. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keep his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now God's talking about living in his ways, keeping his ways. I'm not saying that we're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that we're going to ever fall, but I'm saying that in our hearts, we got to live by that. We got to do everything in our ability and in our power to try to live that way. We got to give our hearts to him. The man after God's own heart, King David, sinned many times, but God forgave him. God loved him. He had a relationship with him. And that's what we have to do. We have to cross that line, build a relationship with him. And we have to give him our hearts. We have to seek after his heart. We have to seek after his will. We can't be falling back and saying that we love God and know God, but then, you know, when we go home, we act a different way. God sees our hearts. We got to give our hearts to him. We have to stop talking about it and be about it. We got to cross that line, walk in authority, walk in his word each and every single day. We got to be in the spirit. We got to walk in the spirit. We got to stop walking in the flesh and looking in the flesh. We got to see with God's eyes. We have to ask God, God, reveal to us. Show us, Lord. Show us the way. We have to stop living in the flesh and conforming to this world. We got to start moving forward. We got to start coming together. First John, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even though we fall, the Lord is there to forgive us. So we just got to believe in him. We got to start walking in his word and moving forward. The kingdom of God is just, I mean, there's just so many things going out there right now. There's so many things happening right now. You know, if I can put this in a perspective, that was scripture, but let's just put things in worldly perspective. You know, if a football team's going to go win the Super Bowl, they got to work hard at it. They got to come together as a team. They got to push through things. You know, basketball team, they got to come together and work as a team if they're going to beat the other team, if they're going to beat the opponent. There's a war going on right now. There's a war going on in the spirit, good and evil. We got to put on that full armor of God every single day of our life, every single morning, and we got to carry our shield, we got to carry our sword, and we got to walk with it. We got to carry our cross, we got to give it to the Lord, and we got to do what we got to do. That's real. Sorry. Woo. Lord. Lord said, this is Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in my name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, yea, that work iniquity. So that's what we're coming to right now. We got to cross that line with our hearts. We got to move forward, and we can't waver. No matter what comes against us, we got to be positive. We got to press through. We got to break whatever comes against us. The Word of God is in us. The Spirit of God is in us. We can't waver. We can't let the enemy take us out. The enemy's job is to seek us, defeat us, destroy us, devour us. But we're not going to let that happen. Today we're making a choice. Today we're going to stand strong. We're going to stand up as Christians. We're going to stand up as sons and daughters of God. And we're going to move forward. We're not going to fall back and conform into the world ways. We're going to move forward. We're going to make a decision today. And that decision is to cross that line and to serve the Lord our God with all our hearts. Because that's what He wants. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants everybody's heart. That's all He wants. Serve Him faithfully with your entire heart. And He will work for you. He will provide for you. He will bring glory down for you. We are His people. Every single promise in that word, in that Bible, is for us. Every single promise in that Bible is for us. Healing, deliverance, restoration. And all we got to do is believe. But we got to live by His ways too. He's not a Santa Claus God. He's not a Santa Claus God that just comes whenever we need something. You know, we gotta do our part too. We got to come in. We got to give our hearts to Him every single day. Not just on Sundays, every 6 months, or, you know, whenever you spend all your money at the bar drinking, buying drugs, going to PTs, Hooters, wherever you want to go and spend all your money, and then you can't pay the bills, and then you come to church. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. God wants your heart. He wants you to walk the walk. He wants you to be that way. He wants to be about Him. And then He wants to show you what He's going to do for you. Every single promise in that Bible today is your promise. Every single word in that beautiful flashlight of a book, because that is a flashlight in the dark world. That is a flashlight in the dark world. The promises belong to us in Christ. In Christ. So today I charge you, people of God. I charge you to stand up today. Everybody stand up. Come on. We got to stand up. Today is a day. Today we're walking out of this place a different person. Today we're giving our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, broken or not broken, we're giving it all to God. We're going to follow you, Lord. We're going to follow you with our hearts. We're going to follow you with our spirits every single day. No matter what comes against us, no matter what the enemy tries to lie to us, no matter what things come towards us, Father God, we're going to stand. Lord, give us the strength to stand in your righteousness, Father God. Touch our hearts today, Father God. Give us, Lord, give us the strength, Father God, to stand in your word, Father God. Not to conform to this world, Lord, but to your word. We're not going to waver, Father God. We're going to cross that line today, Father. We're going to stand forward. We're going to stand strong. We're going to come together as people of God. And we're not going to look back. We're not going to move back. Those familiar spirits, we cast them out, Father God. Those familiar spirits have nothing here, Father. Have no authority over us, Father. We are moving forward. Our hands to the plow, and we're going forward, Lord God. Father, we just thank you today, Father God. We thank you for your spirit, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for his power, Lord, in the blood. We thank you for his blood wipes us clean, Father God. And we thank you for today, Father God. The addictions are being broken today, Father God. We thank you for the blind eyes are being opened, Father God. We thank you for the mute to speak, Father God. We thank you for the deaf to hear, Father God. And we just thank you today, Father God, that from today forward, Father God, we will walk in your word, Father God. We will walk that path, Father God, that you have destined for us to walk, Father God. We believe in your word, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord. We lift up our hearts unto you, Father God. And from today, Father God, we're going to seek your heart, Father God. We're going to seek your spirit, Father God. And we just thank you for your son, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whatever you're believing in him for, whatever you're going through, he's going to pull you through. He's going to pull you through. Believe. Believe, believe, believe. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Feels good, huh? No more backsliding. No more walking the line. No more on the fence. It's not that time anymore. You know, we have God's grace every single morning we wake up. That's God's grace. Because we have another day that we can give our hearts to him. But now we got to do our part. And we got to cross that line. Amen? Yay and amen. Praise God. All right. Pastor? You guys get envelopes for the offerings already?
Somebody invited a preacher in here. Yeah. Somebody invited a preacher in.
Yes, sir.
That's a good thing to have a preacher come in.
Amen.
What you're hearing is an evangelist's heart.
Yeah.
And what he's doing, you're the fishes. Right. And he's casting the net.
Right.
But the way he's casting the net is thinking, see, are you going to stay on that one side that feels good? Because when you come with God, everybody's going to tell you, oh, you get God, you get saved, and things just look better, feel better, taste better. Well, they're lying to you.
That's real.
But what happens is we get the sugar-coated message about the gospel. The reality is, you ever had someone that knows everything about you, that tells you everything about you, and you know it's right? You're like, damn. Why you got to know everything? I wish you didn't have that prophetic gift. And why you got to discern? Why don't you just love me? That's true love. Just to tell you the truth. The truth. Cast the net, man. Cast the net. How many of you have been on that side of the line that said, I'll come to church when I can, or I'll get in the word when I have an opportunity, or... you know what, I'm just going to, you know, I'll pass by church and do a drive-by. You see my leaders are in there like, that's me. See your pastor, that's me. So what we have to understand is God is calling us. Amen. And when he's calling us, what he's doing inside of us, he's doing this to your flame. He's fanning your flame. Now, when the flame begins to get intensified, we think we just got to let that fire go. But you're forgetting about the vessel that you are. That you contain that flame. You do. But what happens is, over the course of your life, mistakes that we make ourselves, don't blame the devil. You give him credit far more than you need to. Bind the real devil in the mirror.
That's right.
I love you. But when all of a sudden you start to feel that fire burning, you're like, okay, I'll go to church today. I'll go to church today. Maybe something. Maybe the prophet has something for me. I'm going to go today. And then when you get there, like, oh, dang, I shouldn't have came today. I didn't feel that one today. Oh, yeah. I love, and God know you love you. You know I love you, right? Hello? Hello? But the reality is what God is doing, he's just fanning your flame so it doesn't go out based on your surroundings. Because your surroundings dictate so much more than what you think. And your surroundings have a tendency to make you feel that you become part of your surrounding, and you're not. You are a spirit being. Every single person in here, whether you believe in Jesus Christ or not, you're a spirit being. He just so happened to give you flesh to cover up your spirit because of the fall in the garden. Now, because you accept Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and is no longer on the cross, you have the right to choose life or death. That's your choice. Don't blame no devil. He did it very subtle in the garden. When you want to give devil credit for some things that you're doing, all you're doing is doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden. Adam said to God, it's that woman. The woman said, it's that snake. No, God spoke to you. Don't blame shift. God's still fanning that flame. He's still fanning that flame. And what he's trying to get us to do is to just cross over. Just cross over. Don't stay where you're at. Because what will happen is you begin to blend into your mess. Why is it easy for us to accept our mess? Because it has your fragrance on it.
Come on.
Y'all didn't want me to get, you should have known. Why will, someone here, oh Jesus. Why will the dogs go back to their own vomit? Because it has their own fragrance on it. Do you hear me? So that's why it's easy for us to stay in our mess. But then we wonder why we're not growing, but we want to get the scriptures. It's that dung is good for me. That's not dung. That's regurgitated issues in your life. And this is what the enemy will have you believe, because remember what he did? He twists half truth. He says, oh, Lord Jesus, stand with me, brother.
All right. I'm here.
What is the enemy going to tell you? He's going to give you half truth. Half truth. But the Bible says that he's going to help me with my issues. No, it doesn't say that. It says you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. What's the first word? Walk. You have that responsibility. But if you don't want to walk, you get so used to staying in your own mess. And you see the line drawn right there. He's like, man, that what's that line there for? What is that line in the sand about? He says, I'm going to try to get you to a place where you need to go, but I can't make you walk. You have a responsibility to walk. What did Jesus say to the man that was lame? Get up and walk. The responsibility is on you, not daddy. Ooh, someone didn't like that one. Someone didn't like that one. Someone in here is already mad at me for getting up here. I'll just address your spirit now. You don't like to be told because you have a rebellious spirit. What do you rebel against if you rebel against the word, but you rebel against God? Here we are in our regurgitated mess again. And it's all around us. But we want to blame everybody else. You don't understand. You know, I lost my job. You don't understand. Well, let's be real. Why'd you lose your job? Was it because of your nasty attitude? Oh, y'all don't want real talk.
Come on.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was it because you're always negative? Y'all don't want to talk to me, nay. Oh, you were judgmental to everybody else. But when someone gave you criticism, which was constructive for you, you got mad and said, I quit.
Come on. Come on.
There's a history. It's called work history. And when they say, can we call your last or previous current employer? Oh, no. Oh, hey, whoa, time out now. No. And all they have to ask is one question. Would you rehire this individual? That's the only question they have to ask. Don't have to worry about nothing else about pay that you said, oh, I was making $25. You lie, you only made $7. But they don't even have to ask that. They don't even have to ask what title you held. All they got to ask is, would you hire this individual again? And that response should be favorable for you. But if your history tells you how you is, they're going to say, no. And that's all they have to say. Then the employer that is willing to even give you some consideration has a right to say, we're not accepting you. Yeah. And then we go back on the pavement again looking for another job. Nowadays, this is crazy. We send out resumes about 150 in about 2 days, and nobody ever seen you. You hiding behind a computer. Oh, I sent out my resumes everywhere. I sent them everywhere. You just like everybody else that don't have a job. What makes you special? Now, can we get back into the kingdom mindset? God is saying, if I was to ask you, would I use you again? Did you feel that?
Yeah.
I even got mine.
Yeah, I was like about to take off my shoes.
Yes, God, yes. Wow. He's in your history. And so I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you an analogy. It's not scripture. I'm giving you an analogy. Yeah. God doesn't hold your faults. I'm just giving you an analogy. Yeah. Someone in here is challenging me. When God has a tendency to show you about you, he uses who? You.
That's right.
He don't use anybody else about you. He uses you for you. Then why is it we as Christians on this side of the line want to start looking at everybody else?
Come on.
And pointing their faults out. But then when God gives you the microscope for you to look under your own skin, You start saying, this don't look good. Let me hide behind somebody else so they don't see my mess. God is omniscient and he is everywhere. Like you're going to hide something from God. Like, if they don't see it with their eyes, then I must be okay.
Wow.
Then I'm on a roll, baby. Now, we have this thing called the internet that is on phones and tablets and iPods and iPads and wee-wee pads and all kinds of stuff. But here's the thing. Let me talk to some of you men in here. Yeah, and well, women too. Back in the day, when you were growing up a young boy full of hormones, you knew the certain corner store that had some magazines. As long as you just looked at the front magazine, it looked like you were okay just looking. But if you moved the magazines in the back to the side, what you said now? Jesus, you're good. But nowadays, you don't have to go in and anybody see you glancing what you shouldn't be looking at. So things are much easier now for someone to come up to you and say, check this out. It's just me and you. What am I saying? On this side of the line, you're going to get the same people that want to keep you here. But on this side of the line is where God says, you may feel like you're alone, but if you take your eyes off of yourself, you'll see that there's many other people that want to do the same thing to move forward in Him.
Amen.
We've got to cross over. You ever felt like you start going a little bit and the next thing? What? I was doing good too. Man, I was doing. Who pulled me back? Who? Self? You know how? There it goes again. Let me answer this individual that's in the room, whoever you are. How do you pull yourself back? You never cut off the rope that you had attached to in your past.
Right.
So every time you get to a certain distance, hey! But He never let you go because you never cut it, the cord. I love my mama. It'd be an interesting, very interesting sight if I was still connected with my umbilical cord to her. Everywhere she's going. Why? I can't become my own person unless the umbilical cord is cut.
That's real.
Now I'm on just the spirit. Hell yeah. We don't like to cut the cord that smells just like us. Sometimes we got to just get in there and cut it ourselves. Do you understand?
Amen.
It'll hurt. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to sugarcoat it and say, oh, it's okay. God will do it all. No, He won't. You did it to yourself. He's going to make you do it to yourself to get out.
Amen.
And His grace and His mercy will be with you to get you out.
Right.
He ain't saying I'm going to pull you out. This is what He says in the Word. There ain't no place that my hand can't get you and pull you out. But what you got to do is reach up and grab hold. But we don't want to because it smells just like us. Once you get cleaned up and come on this side, you realize it didn't smell good to begin with. Why? I'll give you a. Just say it this way. To those that are unsaved, so that makes none of us in here, we're all saved, right? Okay. So I wouldn't hurt your feelings if I said what I'm about to say. Because it's none of you, correct? Okay, amen. So when a drunk gets drunk and they have too much in them, that poison of the alcohol begins to eat away at the lining of the stomach. And so what is your body's natural function to do? To get it out. How is it that your body knows what to do, but your mind tells you, it's all right, let's do it again next week? Here's the interesting fact that I'm going to point out to you. Since we're all saved, we're saints in here. Y'all give yourself up. But when you let it all out, it smells like everything you put in.
Oh, come on. All right. Come on.
But when you realize where you're at and you don't want part of it and you cut that cord, that process, which will be my Sunday's message, and I'll just leave you hanging after this, the process is hard. And that's why we don't like it. Can I ask you to do something? I might put you on the spot, but can you flex your right bicep up? Did it just happen overnight? Process. Process. A process. Okay, here you are. You want a challenge. Okay. Okay. You worked on this area for 40 years and you got this way. P90X is 90 straight days. And when you get on your 91st day and you don't see the results that you want to get all mad. But it took you 40 years to get where you're at.
Come on.
Shonda. What I'm trying to tell you, and I'll close with this, and I know the man of God, he preached the word. He did. And why are you getting nervous while I'm here? I don't know, man. He did a wonderful job. Because all I did is when I called, I said, you know what? My son has a basketball game, and I'm going. I want you to do it from beginning to end, open and close the church. I don't want to go. I'm waiting for his response. He goes, I got this. Yes. I said, I want you to finish what I started drawing the line. He goes, God already gave it to me. Amen. 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 That's where we need to be. Amen. Now, what I want you to understand is that God is not only drawing the line in the sand. He has used a plumb line. Y'all had this thing chill in here. Yeah, y'all were. He is also drawing the line on the leaders of the body of Christ. Now, watch this, man. Watch this. You know what Wednesdays wasn't going to go back to a certain place that I go on Wednesdays. But today, the Lord says, go. Yes, at your will, God, I'll go. I walk into this place. And I'm greeted with a face smiling at me from ear to ear that I had not seen in a very, very long time, who actually came against me and this house. And the embrace was so hard and so strong that we both began to just weep. We have our, little round powwow. I didn't say one word. I didn't say one word until the end, very at the end. And they asked, well, Pastor, you haven't said nothing. I said, I got to just put it out there. We all want change. But how do you make change to your change? We're quick as leaders of the body of Christ to look at what the church needs to do for change. But we can't I can't change none of you unless I first get changed. It's true. And if you don't see change in me, why should I expect change in you? And this bunch of preachers, we're sitting around, and that opened up a can of worms, and hallelujah. I'll just take them fishing. After the meeting, the individual that I saw, the pastor, has his own church now, says, I need to talk to you. It's okay, yeah. Everybody left. I spent 2 hours sitting there with him, weeping and asking for forgiveness from me. Because he judged me, my mindset on how I teach you, and he came against his church. The wow, I hope you're saying, because of the love of the forgiveness. Okay. Now watch this. A connection was reconnected for a purpose greater than just building our kingdom, but building his kingdom. He says, this is what we do. This is how I do. This is what my belief is. This is how this is. And I'm like, you know, when you just like, you're kind of questioning, that's like, check, check, check. I do, yeah, That's what we do. He says, and that's why I didn't understand why I came against you. He said, and you're going to see him. He's going to come here someday and minister here. When some of y'all that know see him, you'll know that's nothing but God. But God. He said that he backslid. His testimony, I'll let him share. But he backslid, was out of church, went back to church. But during the process of being in church, he was still backslidden. I said, your testimony is my testimony. The greatest thing I ever experienced is when I was so far out of church. So that so I can get every ounce of religion out of me. When I came out of my backside of the mountain kind of experience, that's when I said I realized the love of God like never before. But how much would we ever really understand of his love unless we were left out there alone? He said the same thing happened to him. I felt alone, but I felt his love. He says I would cry in my living room and walk all over and be in glory because of his love. Now the words that were coming out of his mouth were totally different from the individual that I once knew. Why? Because he crossed the line to a place in God that God wants for him. Me too. Now, if you want that, you cross that line. God ain't going to drag you. He's not going to pull you. He's only going to invite you. It's your choice to make that decision. Yours. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just declare right now that foul and unclean spirit that wants to attach itself, I bind that spirit right now in the name of Jesus as it's trying to attach, even not even to your mind, your psyche, but how you see and hear. For the Spirit of God shall go forth and bring deliverance and healing in the way you see and understand and perceive what kind of spirit has had you blind. This is your deliverance today. It was appointed for you to be here. You even struggled to come tonight. You didn't want to be here, but God sent you here. Your deliverance is here now. God don't put you on blast. He allows the Spirit of grace to come and hover over you, love you, and embrace you to tell you your change is here now. If you're willing to accept it, you give your heart to him. That's it. Not to man, nobody else. You give your heart to him, and he'll walk out the deliverance with you. Manipulation and control, you're bound right now in the name of Jesus. You have no place, no power, no authority. I take authority over you right now in Jesus' mighty name, which is a subject and likened unto witchcraft. We bind you now in the name of Jesus. We cancel you. We cancel you right now. And we cut right now the silver cord that attaches you to this foul spirit in Jesus' mighty name. And I speak a blessing into your soul. A blessing and love, not a rejection, not bitterness, and not anger, but love, peace, and joy. And I speak the precious love of the Father to permeate your spirit, your mind. Father, I thank you in advance for the healing for those that are here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. There's the deliverance in here. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. What I want you to understand, guys, is that the word goes forth. The Bible says there's three different types of ground. You choose which one you are. Nobody has to tell you which one you are. You choose. You know where your heart is. You know where your heart is. You make that choice. You want it to take root in your life? Give your heart to him. Give your heart to him. Just give it. Trust him. He's not going to hurt you. Just trust him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What I want you to do is, on your tithe and offering envelope, help me change. Write that. Help me change. Write it down. Help me change. And if this ministered to you today, and you say, that's me, I want you to come up for prayer. Come on up for prayer. Because it's time to cross that line. Hallelujah. We're going to leave the chest open so you can come and drop it off. But those that are in need of prayer for this, come up so we can pray for you.